And after 2 months of talks, the 12-member supercommittee is starting to look like it is indeed going to fail. Meredith Shiner is a Senate reporter at CQ Roll Call and here to talk about where the supercommittee stands as of this hour. Meredith, always great to have you on the program. Thanks for being here.
Well, and thank you for having me. Currently, the supercommittee stands in a position of near failure, and all the reporters covering it are sitting in a position outside of Rob Portman's Senate office, waiting for senators to emerge to either announce that they have not found a last-minute deal, which is what we are assuming will be the case, or to announce some sort of Hail Mary package, but that does not seem to be what this group is on track to do.
And see, that's what I think is contributing to all the cynicism about this, Meredith, is the first thing I thought when I got up this morning and I looked at your website and it talked about the potential failure and we had a story on federalnewsradio.com and I thought, wouldn't it be just like this process and the people who are involved with this, after telling everyone on the Sunday shows yesterday this is probably not going to work, to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat at the last moment? And then my second thought was, I think that's what everybody's so sick of when it comes to this whole super committee conversation.
Well, given how popular Congress is, that they would want to set the bar as low as possible would not be stunning. However, it just doesn't appear that the irreconcilable differences on taxes and entitlements that have plagued every single budget negotiating group, whether it was the Biden group, the Gang of Six, the President, and the Speaker of the House this summer, I mean, they just can't bridge this impasse. Granted, I could be wrong and we could all be proven to be unwise within the next few hours, but I honestly just don't see how that's possibly the case. We are here in Russell Senate office building. This is the second meeting here of the day. Earlier this morning, Senator John Kerry hosted a last-minute meeting in his office. It was bipartisan. It included Senators Max Baucus, Patty Murray, Rob Portman, John Kyle, as well as Representatives Chris Van Hollen and Fred Upton. He had offered some sort of package that would have sort of changed a little bit of whatever the revenue offering was by trying to change baselines and affect cuts, but it wasn't clear coming out of that meeting that there was even Democratic consensus for such a plan, and Republicans really weren't on board. So they're at least trying to appear like they're continuing to throw spaghetti at the wall, but how serious that effort is, it's really hard to tell.
We're under two for the first time this year in this conversation, a time crunch, because Thanksgiving obviously is on Thursday. And you're writing in your story with John Stanton that we have linked up at federalnewsradio.com. The House's target adjournment date's December 8th. The Senate is booked through Christmas Eve. But with all the stuff that still remains, we still have, what is it, I want to say 7 or 8 appropriations bills that still need to be done. 5 agencies are covered and some of the smaller science agencies are okay. But there's still a lot of stuff to do and running out of time to do it, even if there wasn't a super committee issue to deal with.
Yeah, December's going to be a mess, no doubt about it. And the interesting thing about that is that leadership, particularly on the Senate side, had been bracing for a super committee failure for a very long time. And by that, I just mean assuming super committee failure. The main issue that we pointed out in our story and roll call this morning was that there was a hope that the super committee could take on several significant issues that Congress has to continually re-extend and extend them through the election. So when you talk about unemployment insurance benefits, tax extenders, which give a lot of different tax breaks to small businesses, the so-called Medicare doc fix, which makes sure that salaries to doctors and benefits to doctors don't get slashed, as well as the payroll tax holiday, which was a significant provision in the president's jobs plan that they had enacted last Congress. So, I mean, there's a lot that they would need to do, plus the current continuing resolution, which keeps the government in operation, expires December 16th, and leaders had been waiting to do a larger package for a longer term time, because as you had mentioned, Congress this fall has adopted this approach of taking smaller appropriations packages and bundling them together and moving them. They did pass a bill like that last week, but the second so-called minibus, terrible term right now, but the second minibus they had is stalled and was blocked from moving forward in the Senate last week. So they've got a lot, and I think the House is fund operating under a huge sense of wishful thinking if they think they can be done by December 8th.
Now,
it's just too much to do.
When we look at this super committee issue in hindsight, it makes sense you reported a couple of weeks back, I guess it is now, that Senators Reid and McConnell were speaking to each other in kind of an informal, behind-the-scenes, so-on-and-so-forth type basis.
Yeah.
And now that looks a lot more sensible. I didn't really know what to make of that at the time. Now it seems pretty obvious what they were thinking about.
So, okay, there might be a crush of noise because people are starting to move. It could probably be a staffer on bathroom break or a senator actually trying to leave the door. But what I would say is that there were some conversations between Reid and McConnell, but also conversations between Leader Reid and Speaker Boehner, because the two of them, who had worked on so many deals before and their staffs had worked on deals before, were going to try to maybe push the super committee to do something, even a more modest package. Last week, Speaker Boehner had made a $640 billion offer to Leader Reid that would have been mostly cuts, $3 billion in tax revenue by eliminating the corporate jet tax break, which has been a pet issue for Democrats, especially Chuck Schumer, who loved to use it to message on the floor, to basically reduce the pain of the sequester, which is the across-the-board spending cuts that will happen in January 2013 if this committee fails. $500 billion of that approximately would come from defense spending, and Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta has already said that this would be catastrophic for the military, and it has already become a talking point of Republicans, and they've said that they would try to roll it back. Which, again, would be very difficult, but this is just creating a series of messaging wars, a series of legislative complications. And so we are certainly not done with this story, even if the group fails, which it is expected to do potentially any minute now.
Meredith, I appreciate you telling us what you're hearing directly from the sources on Capitol Hill. I'm going to let you get back to work, and I appreciate your time this afternoon. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and my editors appreciate it.
Meredith Shiner's a